Right. Good morning, everybody. I'm going to try to read and keep this earpiece on at the same time, which is going to probably require a lot more focus. So today's lesson is instructions on giving. And we've been going through different problems in the church, and we've gone over the last few Sundays, and now we're going to talk about giving. Didn't think of that as a problem, really, but I guess in some churches it is, and at times it can be. So let's open with prayer, and maybe I can get collected here. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to be together. We thank you for allowing the weather to cooperate so that we can all come to worship and learn of you. We just pray that you would be with us, quiet our minds and our hearts. Open our ears, help us to listen to whatever you have for us today. And we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so there are three different parts to this lesson. One is give graciously and with integrity. Graciously as in a courteous and kind and pleasant manner. And integrity with the quality of being honest, high moral principles, and refusing to change. The second part will be give proportionately, so that means that you're going to give in a way that corresponds to whatever, you know, a certain standard that you have. And the third one is to give cheerfully in a way that displays happiness or optimism. I kept thinking of whenever I was teaching at the Christian school, we used to have Friday chapels, and one of the ministers that came in to talk to us said he was always brought up with the idea that you have to do it cheerfully or you do it anyway. So that's just the way it is. So we're obligated to do that whether it's cheerfully or not, but God prefers that we do it cheerfully. So the central truth is cheerful generosity is a Christian way of life. And it says here, a Christian's generosity showcases trust in Christ to the unbeliever. And the golden text is a verse from 2 Corinthians 9:7. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. So, and we're going to be going back and forth from 1 and 2 Corinthians today. And in these letters, Paul has written, he's addressing the theme of generosity. He's trying to provide offerings to support the saints that are in need. And he's already, like whenever he was first commissioned, I guess, as an apostle, he had met with James, Peter, and John, and he had made a commitment to them that he would try to, they gave him the right hand of fellowship, and he was supposed to try to remember the poor. And Paul said that this was the very thing that I was eager to do. So the background is there was a severe famine that struck Judea, the whole region, and Paul was calling on all the Gentile churches to gather money to send to the Christians in Jerusalem because they were really in need. The purpose was twofold. One was to alleviate the poverty of the saints, and two was to strengthen the church's bonds of unity. He was trying to bring the two churches together, all the Gentile churches as well as the mother church in Jerusalem. For Paul, the opportunity to contribute to the offering for the brethren of the mother church of the Christian movement was a privilege and a service. It was also considered a demonstration of the believer's commitment to the Lord and to his apostle, being Paul. The lesson exhorts us to see our giving as an act of surrender to the Lord and his work according to God's will. So let's go into the scripture then. I still have it here. Okay, our first section is 2 Corinthians 8, 1-7. There are two scriptures that have to do with giving graciously. And we're going to read the verses from the Life Application Bible and the comments. I'm losing this already. Okay. All right, chapter 8, verses 1 through 7. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in his service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us. So we urged Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. So he made the appeal to the Macedonian churches, even though they were very poor. They came through, and they gave themselves, first of all, we urged Titus, no, how was it? Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service. So they actually practically begged to be able to send money to them, even though they didn't have it to give. They gave sacrificially. So Paul is talking to the Corinthians now. He wants them to come through with an offering also. And I guess he's appealing to their, I'm sort of putting them on a little bit of a guilt trip there, saying, you know, you have everything. You have faith, you have speech, you have knowledge, and you have everything. So I want you to excel in the grace of giving as well. We have a note here. The amount we give is not as important as why and how we give. God does not want us to give gifts grudgingly. Instead, he wants us to give as the churches did, out of dedication to Christ, love for fellow believers, the joy of helping those in need, and the knowledge that it is simply the good and right response. And the question to all of us is, how can we adjust our attitude so that we can see it as a privilege to share with those in need? And the Corinthian believers excelled in everything. They had faith, good preaching, which is speech, much knowledge, much enthusiasm, and much love. Paul encouraged them to also excel in the grace of giving. Too often, stewardship of money is given a lower priority than other aspects of discipleship. Most believers would not want growth in faith, knowledge, or love to stop at a certain level, yet many decide to give a fixed percentage of their income and never increase it over their lifetime. True discipleship includes growing in the mature use of all resources, so giving should expand as well. God can give you the desire and enable you to increase your capacity to give. Don't miss the opportunity for growth. So, I thought that was interesting there, where we are always wanting to grow, but we don't usually ask to grow in our ability to give. So Paul concluded this section by reminding the Corinthians that since they had every kind of spiritual material blessing, as the Corinthians themselves attested, it should be even easier for them to contribute to this grace of giving. So he used three key terms in referring to the offering. Fellowship, which suggests a sense of brotherhood resulting in a great act of generosity. Ministering, which reflects the act of contributing being understood as Christian service. And grace, which shows seeing the opportunity of giving as a privilege. So, why do we give? What is it that inspires us, challenges us to give? Believers give for a variety of reasons. Sense of obligation, a desire for recognition, attempt to alleviate a guilt conscience. But the best motive is graciousness. This happens when we recognize all that we have is received from God. Being able to share those blessings with others brings great joy. When times are tough and giving is sacrificial, we make a statement of our faith. We're saying, God supplies all my needs. and I can share what he's given me with other people that need it. Then we go to 2 Corinthians 9, 1-5. And please, if you guys have any comments or anything, just throw it in there. Okay, 2 Corinthians 9, 1-5. There is no need for me to write to you about this service to the Lord's people, for I know your eagerness to help, and I have been boasting about it to the Macedonians, telling them that since last year, you and Achaia were ready to give, and your enthusiasm has stirred most of them to action. But I am sending the brothers in order that our boasting about you in this manner should not prove hollow, but that you may be ready, as I said you would be. For if any Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to say anything about you, would be ashamed of having been so confident. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to visit you in advance and finish the arrangements for the generous gift you had promised. Then it will be ready as a generous gift, not as one grudgingly given. So Paul reminded the Corinthians to fulfill the commitment that they had already made. They had promised to send a financial gift to the church in Jerusalem. Paul was sending a few men ahead of him to make sure the gift was ready, so it would be a real gift and not look as though people were coerced into giving. Paul was holding them accountable to keep their promise so that neither he nor the Corinthians would be embarrassed. And sometimes people hesitate to give generously because they worry about the money. They worry about having enough to pay their own bills, retirement, emergencies, what if I lose my job? But Paul assured the Corinthians that God would be able to meet their needs. He blesses those that give back to him. Christians who give back to God will lack nothing that they really need. God's favor, his grace, will be showered on those who give. And Malachi 3:10 says, "Open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. So don't let worry rob you of God's blessings." And a person who gives a small amount shouldn't be embarrassed. You give according to what you can. But the whole thing is the key to your heart, what your purpose is in giving. Our handling of money can reveal our spiritual maturity. If we give grudgingly, it may indicate that we don't fully trust God as a provider. But when we give willingly, we display God's gracious and caring nature. God owns everything, and we are merely managers or stewards of what he has given us. So that covers the graciously part. Now we're going to talk about giving proportionately, and that's in 1 Corinthians 16, 1-4. Find it. Okay, 1 Corinthians 16, 1-4. Now about the collection for the Lord's people. Do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up so that whenever I come, no collections will have to be made. Then when I arrive, I will give letters of introduction to the men you approve and send them with your gift to Jerusalem. If it seems advisable for me to go also, they will accompany me. So now he comes up with a plan. This was a plan to help them get this offering together. Anybody have any idea why he said to set it aside on the first day of every week? Because of Resurrection Day, because of Christ's resurrection. And it also tells us that it was customary for the Jews to be in the temple on Saturday, but they also held Sunday as their day of worship because of Christ's resurrection. The Jews had to send a temple offering once a year, but this was supposed to be above and beyond that. This was supposed to be a special offering just for the Jews in Jerusalem that were going through a difficult time. So, and then in 2 Corinthians 8:8-15. I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. keep going. And here is my judgment about what is best for you in this manner. Last year you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Now finish the work, so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but there might be equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn their plenty will supply what you need. The goal is equality, as it is written, "The one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little." Okay. There are four principles of giving in this passage. One is our willingness to give enthusiastically and cheerfully. It's more important the amount we give. Two is we should strive to fulfill our financial commitments. Three, if we give to others in need, they will in turn help us whenever we need it. And four, we should give as a response to Christ, not for anything we can get out of it. And how we give reflects our devotion to Christ. And I thought this one, this comment was really interesting here. Paul says that we should give according to what we have, not what we don't have. I thought about this as, you know, giving is like everybody wants you to give. I get phone calls constantly. I don't know about you guys, but there's always somebody calling our house asking for money. And it's so hard to know, you know, like you feel so bad for all of these different causes because they all deserve it. But what can you do? There's a limit to what you can give. So Paul says that we should give according to what we have, not what we don't have. Sacrificial giving must be responsible. Paul wants believers to give generously, but not to the extent that their families or others in their care must go without having their basic needs met. Give until it hurts, but don't give in a way that hurts your family or others who depend on your financial support. And I thought that really helped me to come to terms with some of this stuff, because I get, you know, you get it in the mail, you get it over the phone, there's just constant, you know, people just need help. All right, and then we go to 2 Corinthians 9, 6 to 9. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that all things, and at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. So God gives us resources to use and invest for Him. He uses his illustration of seed to explain that the resources God gives us are not to be hidden, foolishly devoured, or thrown away. Instead, they should be cultivated in order to produce more crops. When we invest what God has given us in His work, He'll provide us with even more to give in His service. And He wanted the readers to be generous on every occasion. He appealed to the Corinthians to give sacrificially to aid the Jerusalem congregation, and he reminded them that God is the source of everything good. Believers are called to be generous because of the example of the Lord of life. Stingy Christians should be an extinct species. Generosity proves that a person's heart has been cleansed of self-interest and filled with the servant attitude of Jesus himself. And that is why acts of generosity result in God being praised. So ask yourself, what can you do to show more generosity? And can others see authentic Christianity in how you give? It's not difficult to understand why God delights in a cheerful giver, because God himself is a very giving God. He's given to us so freely, and he desires to produce his character among his people. The quote from Psalms, "They have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever," speaks of the benefits derived from fearing God and delighting in his commands. Righteous people who trust God for their needs will show generosity and care for the poor. So just as God provides for the sower, he provides seed for the sower, he also provides resources for those who are willing to give cheerfully. God blesses those who develop the habit of cheerful, generous giving. Often those blessings are not material, but instead they come in the form of spiritual maturity, the pleasure of helping others, and the joy of advancing the kingdom of God. So I guess we can't expect to be getting monetary benefits, but we can grow spiritually and have the pleasure of helping others and joy, knowing that because that's how it comes, that the kingdom of God is only advanced because people give and spread the word. Okay, that's kind of like, that came to mind with BGMC, how we contributed, you know, so much money this year to provide meals through Convoy of Hope for the children and shoes for a lot of kids across the United States. So, you know, makes us feel good that we can do this to other kids that we don't even know and help them overcome a lot of the poverty that they have. So, that was giving cheerfully. Okay, so God blesses believers so that they can bless others, kind of to sum this all up. When we give, our needs are met, thanks is given to God, people receive the gospel, and it also promotes unity among believers, a closeness and a deeper affection that wouldn't otherwise exist. So, we are going to finish early today. Terry, did you get that video up? You think? Okay, well I'll just close in prayer. And then there's a video that was given through the lesson from the assemblies on stewardship. And I thought it was kind of interesting to listen to. So let's all pray and then we'll listen to the video. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you that you are a very giving God and a loving God. And we just pray that we can be more like you. But we also pray that you can give us wisdom and help us to know where it needs to go and to whom it needs to go, so that we can be wise stewards of what you've given us. We just pray, Lord, that you would help us to see you as a source. Sometimes we feel overwhelmed by the needs around us, from the local church, our communities, individuals. We're bombarded by it. But Lord, we know that you bless us with the resources so that we can help others, that we can develop our own spiritual discipline of giving and generously bless others as you direct us, thus advancing your kingdom. So we ask these things in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, and we praise you. Amen. Okay, Terry.